How great thou art. I love that song. What a wonderful song. Thank you, Brother Bill, for singing that. There's another song that I love too. And I've asked Brother Bill to sing it for us, or to lead us, and it's number 197 as our invitation song. And before we close our songbook, open, if you would, I want us to read the beautiful words together about what it says. It's entitled, Nothing But the Blood. Please open your song books to 197. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Beautiful words, aren't they? And oh, how true they are. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I want you to picture now one of the three persons of the Godhead, the one about whom Paul wrote in Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, when he said, For by him were all things created that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Of course, Paul was talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 with me, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, my friends, the very Son of God came to this earth and shed his blood for you and for me. If we really understand that, there is nothing that this world has to offer. There is no combination of anything in this world has to offer that can approach the preciousness of the blood of our Lord Jesus. It is precious because of who it belonged to, whose it is, whose it was, and it is precious because of what it will do for those who will avail themselves of its power. Those who do avail themselves of its power are Christians. Those who have rendered himself in obedience to the gospel. And to such people, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, He says, Forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, listen now, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blessings of the blood of Christ are extended to two classes of people. First, it is extended to non-Christians to the extent if they obey the gospel of Christ and his blood will then make them Christians. Second, it is extended to Christians that they might be forgiven of sins that they committed after obeying the gospel. I want to talk first of all this morning to those who are not Christians. I want to tell you what the blood of Christ can do for you. And oh, my friends, if you are not a Christian, please, please understand that the blood of Christ can make you a Christian. Understand that in order to bring about this change of condition in you, to bring about this change in your lives, the blood of Jesus accomplishes certain specific things that the Bible tells us about. First, the Bible tells us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, you can have the forgiveness of sins. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Now when the angel appeared to Joseph while he and Mary were still betrothed, we find these words being spoken in Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21. Now I want you to listen to these beautiful words. It says in verse 20, Joseph, Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So through the blood of the Lord you can have that salvation from sin. In the neighborhood of 33 to 34 years, the angel appeared to Joseph at the beginning of Mary's pregnancy. Jesus would be eating his last supper with the apostles before his death. It was a celebration of the Passover feast, and during that time, Jesus would institute the Lord's Supper, an act of worship that was to be observed in the church until he comes. I'd like to look now at Matthew's account of that institution. It's found in Matthew chapter 26. And in verse 26, we'll read through 29. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink with you in my Father's kingdom." Did you notice what Jesus said concerning his blood? Did you notice it? He said it was the blood of the New Testament which is shed for the remission of sins. Jesus shed his blood, my friends, so that you might have your sins forgiven. Not too many days later, Peter would connect that blood for the remission of sins to baptism in Acts 2:38 when he said in Acts 2:38 that baptism was also for the remission of sins. Look with me at Acts 20, if you would, in verse 7. Acts 20 and verse 7. And for just a moment, let's reflect upon what is said here in Acts 20 and verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. In Acts 20 and verse 7, my friends, we learn the example of the church at Troas that the first day of the week was that day in verse 29 of Matthew 26 referred to by the Lord when he instituted the Lord's Supper. In this, we see a definite time set apart by the command of Christ to observe a definite thing by a definite people. We also see in Acts 20 and verse 7 the fact that they waited 5 days and they were gathered to break bread and intended to depart on the morrow. That is a strong evidence that meeting on the first day of the week to break bread was now a fixed practice among the churches, which is what we observe every first day of the week. We just did earlier this morning. And second, my friends, the Bible tells my non-Christian friends, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be redeemed. We speak of redemption in Christ. Well, what does it mean? What does redemption mean? Basically, it means to redeem, means to buy out, to pay the price. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 with me. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 7. It is used of purchasing a slave to make him free. That's what redemption is. It also means to pay a ransom, to release by paying the ransom price. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, we find, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Now, what did Paul just say there? Paul says, what did he say? He says, we have redemption through his blood. For what, Paul? For forgiveness of sins. That's what we have. His blood gives us forgiveness of sins. Now, you may be saying, I'm not a slave of anything. I don't need to be made free. I certainly don't need ransom paid for my soul. If this is what you're thinking, you are so wrong. Let's look together at the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. And verse 30, beginning in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sins is a servant of sins. Now, if you have not been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you are a slave of sin, my friend. You are a slave of sin. Look at Romans 6, Romans chapter 6. Here we see Paul gives a little more extensive explanation of your need for redemption as a non-Christian. Romans 6. Paul wrote, beginning in verse 16, he said, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Now listen to this. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. If you're not a Christian, you need to be redeemed or freed from slavery that you're in right now, and that slavery is sin. And the blood of Jesus is a ransom that has been paid for that. The third point I want to make, the Bible says, through the blood of Jesus, you can be reconciled to God. Now, again, you may be thinking, why do I need to be reconciled to God? I believe in Him. I pray every now and again. Why do I need reconciliation? Well, I want you to turn with me back to the Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 59, if you would. Isaiah gives us a good answer to that question. Isaiah 59. Why do I need reconciliation? Well, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 gives us the answer. He said, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So please understand, my friends, that sin alienates a person from God. It alienates you from God. God does not and he will not tolerate sin, and he does not permit those who are living in sin to dwell in his presence. Think of it in this world. We often speak of a husband and a wife being estranged from each other and they need to be reconciled. Or perhaps some good friends who have had some falling outs, there needs to be reconciliation. While those situations are in no way approach the seriousness of being estranged from God, they serve to help us understand the need of reconciliation. Somehow, the relationship of God Somehow the relationship man has with God before he sins has to be reestablished or there is only condemnation. You understand what I said? The relationship man had with God before he sins has to be reestablished or there will be only condemnation. And that reconciliation is available through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you will, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 and 18. He said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Now, if you would quickly turn over to Romans 5 and let's look at verse 10. Now, in Romans 5 and verse 10, Paul was a little clearer about how this reconciliation through Jesus should occur. He wrote in verse 10, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son." By the death of His Son. That's how it can happen, brethren, through the death of Jesus, wherein He shed His blood so you and I can be reconciled to God. And my non-Christian friends, you can find justification through the blood of Jesus. Justification is the idea of being pronounced righteous, free from guilt. And there's only one way that that can happen. We do not and we cannot justify ourselves. It is an impossibility. Only the Son of God can justify man, and that is only through the shedding of His blood. We mentioned Romans 5 a moment ago. Well, let's go back there and look at verses 6 through 9, if you would. Definitely one of my favorite passages. Romans 5, verses 6 through 9. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man one would even dare to die. But God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified, listen, by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him." Christ died for those who mocked and scourged and crucified Him, bringing about our justification through His blood from future wrath. Through His blood we are saved from future wrath. And brethren and friends, we need to remind ourselves of that each and every day and thank our Lord for it. Once you're willing to admit that you're a sinner and realize that when you sin, you have sinned against God who created you and loved you and sent His Son to die for you, you know, when you realize that, you're going to long to have that guilt removed and be declared free from guilt, and then you'll be righteous. If you have a tender heart, you will feel as David did and have the same urgency about getting it taken care of as David expressed in Psalms 51, verses 1 through 4. Let's look at that. Psalms 51. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4. David wrote, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest, and be clear when Thou judgest." Now skip down to verses 9 through 12. David said, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." What a beautiful psalm. You hear David. David could not forgive himself. Although God had already forgiven him, he couldn't forgive himself. The fact of guilt and the feeling of guilt are an awful thing. It's an awful thing. And you can be free of such guilt through the blood of Jesus Christ. All these blessings are extended to you if you are not a Christian. What have you done for Jesus that would have caused Him to make these provisions for you? What have you done for Jesus that would cause Him to make these provisions for you? Well, the answer to that question is nothing. You did nothing. Because you have sinned and I have sinned, Jesus had to hang on the cross. Back to Isaiah, if you would, for just a moment. One more passage. Isaiah 53, if you would. Isaiah 53, and we'll look at verses 4 through 6. The Bible says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of all." This explains exactly why Jesus hung on the cross. The Lord laid on him the iniquity and the sins of all of us. He is our atonement for those sins. So let me ask you, why don't you take advantage of his blood while there's still time? Jesus' death by crucifixion is the most unusual in the history of the world because of what it requires of us. History tells us that there were crucifixions of 800 Pharisees in 88 B.C., and you know what? It accomplished nothing for us and requires nothing of us. Again, history says that 3,600 Jews in A.D. 66 were crucified during the siege of Jerusalem. And during the siege of Jerusalem in A.D. 70, they said there were so many were crucified, and there was even a shortage of wood and room for the crosses. But you know what? These crucifixions accomplished nothing for us and requires nothing of us. But when Jesus gave himself to die on the cross, he saved us from the wrath to come. He reconciled us to God, and he redeemed us from the bondage of sin. That requires something of us. It demands something of us. And because Jesus died for us and saved us from the wrath to come, we must glorify him in the way that we live our lives, brethren. His death demands that of us. Paul says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians 6:20. Paul also said, in 2 Corinthians 5:15, he said, "He died for all, that those who should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Jesus gave up heaven for 33 years. He humbled himself and he made himself the servant of men for 33 years. And then he gave himself to die a terrible, agonizing death on the cross. Why did he do it? He did it for you and he did it for me. He didn't have to, but he did it. Think about that. Think about him hanging on that cross. The cruelty of the cross. The things that he went through. They spit on him. They made fun of him, told him to come down off the cross if you're king, and so on. Just so many things. And every time I think about it, I just get cold chills up and down my back, thinking what he did for me so that I could have that hope of eternal life with him. We need to keep that in our mind every hour of every day, brethren. And if there's anyone here who's not a Christian, you need to give yourself to him. And the only way to do that, to become a Christian, is to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, because he most assuredly is. And then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And again, as I tell you, every time you rise from that watery grave, a new creature, born again, on that road that leads to heaven. There may be some here this morning who have fallen away. And if you have, take care of it right now before you leave this building, because you have no guarantee that there will be a tomorrow. Take care of it now. Would you come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill is going to sing the blood of Jesus.